You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Welcome back to 95 BFM Drive. I'm joined by the wonderful Te Aorangi Murphy Fell, author of Ngā Reo, Common Māori Language Errors. How are you?
Yeah, kia ora. I'm very good, thank you. I mean, I'm even better now after listening to the words that we heard just before I jumped on, but no, very good, thank you very much.
Welcome to BFM.
Cheers.
So, tell us a bit about yourself first, because I think it's integral, you know, what you do and who you are is a part of, you know, this wonderful book you've written.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm based actually out of Whakatane at the moment. Grew up in Wellington, but have been in Whakatane now for the best part of 15 years or so. And spent a little bit of time in Hamilton at Varsity, at Waikato University, and did a little bit of a stint up in Auckland after that at ASB, right in Wynyard Quarter there in Auckland, and then decided to come back home and work in our family business. So that's what I do now, is, you know, essentially work in our family business that my parents started about 25 years ago, and about when I was born, actually.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and we work in the education space primarily, but, you know, obviously the language, Māori language, is quite a big part of my life and a large passion of mine.
Yeah, so you're a Māori language and education consultant. That is fantastic work to be doing out in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can, you know, more recently we've had quite a large drive around, you know, the promotion of all things real Māori. And if you kind of look at it over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, it's really, really picked up. So there's, you know, there's definitely no shortage of work at the moment in that area. But yeah, you know, good to be able to put a resource out like this with Huna.
100%. Yeah, let's talk about this book, Ngā Reo, Common Māori Language Errors. Why did you write this?
It's a good question. I think we've been asked this question a little bit, actually, since it was released on the, you know, a couple of weeks back. And I guess partly it was to fill a void in the current corpus or the current range of, you know, resources that are currently available for Māori language learners. There are a lot of resources out there that support people on how to say things. And I guess it's a little bit of a kind of detrimental view on the language when you start looking at the types of errors you make. But essentially we kind of, you know, Hona and I decided that, you know, this is an area of the Māori language corpus or resource base that's not currently being fulfilled or hasn't really been done to a large extent. And so, you know, we more recently completed our master's program together. And under the guidance of our tutors, Pānia Papa and Leon Blake, and Te Moti Kairitu, who are, you know, some of the preeminent Māori speakers of this time, we were, you know, encouraged to kind of think about how we speak and you know, the types of errors that we make. And so after a while, we were, you know, reflecting a little bit on it and realised we had about, you know, 100-something errors collected.
Gosh, that's
and,
a lot.
Yeah, that was absolutely, and that was, I guess, the impetus for the book.
Fantastic. I mean, it's such a fabulous resource. Thank you for sending a copy up here. I devoured it.
Fantastic.
So, this book, it's a resource, right?
It is a resource. And I mean, it sounds a bit funny because this is the first book I've written, but in the third book that Hona has written, it's not as though we intended it to be a book right from the outset. And I guess that's quite an important thing to remember is that, you know, through our everyday work, the both of us put resources together and put resources in front of our teachers and schools and our children and all of that, and they come in many different forms. And I guess this one was, you know, for me personally, was the first one that followed the form of a book. And like I said, for Hona, it was the third one. But it wasn't like we decided that we wanted to write a book right from the outset and then went and found a topic. We actually found, you know, we had a topic and we had collected it for a completely different purpose initially. And then it kind of, we thought, you know, this would make a fantastic resources for Māori language learners of all levels. And so that's why we've tried to target the resource to a relatively broad audience, you know, right from those who are just starting to learn the language, you know, through to those who have been long-term speakers of Te Reo Māori and are fluent speakers. So we've tried to cater to that. And that's also why the resource is bilingual, is to, you know, to make it accessible to all levels of learner.
Totally. I think that's such a kind of cool process. Also, congratulations on your first book.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
But that's such a cool process, kind of being in the field, just picking up on these things that, you know, people might necessarily not know that they're doing wrong, but then collating it into this fabulous resource that kind of says, hey, here's how you could do things a little bit better. Which does move me on to the next thing. What are some common errors you notice that you were picking up on, you know?
That's a good question. And I mean, just to address the first part of your statement, you know, we make errors all the time, even in our English language, and, you know.
Totally.
And so it's not to be, you know, and, you know, grammarians, English language grammarians would say that we make mistakes all the time, and absolutely that is the case. And I guess in Te Reo Māori it is a little bit different in that, you know, when we make an error in Māori, it almost seems like it's a bit of a cardinal sin in some ways, whereas in English, you know, if we say something that's an, you know, that we know is a grammatical error, such as, you know, this one was more spicier than the other. You know, if people start making those sorts of mistakes, we just laugh.
Yeah, totally.
English. Whereas that's not necessarily the case in Te Reo Māori. It's seen as more of a sin, I guess. And so what we're trying to say is, you know, it's okay to make errors, and that's the only way that we'll learn.
100%.
But to come to the second part of, you know, your question was around, you know, the common types of errors that we saw. I guess the impetus for the book, or the base for the book, is based around the interference of the English language on, you know, on the Māori language. And, you know, quite often people who are learning Te Reo Māori, and, you know, this includes university students, you know, who may be learning the language for the first time, might include high school students, right through to those who are later in life. When you learn a new language, you often transfer some of the rules and the patterns from the language, you know, that you'd consider your native language, which for most of us is the English language. And when we do that, that can often lead to a whole lot of errors. And that's, I guess, what we call interference, or language interference. So a lot of the errors in the book actually come from structures and patterns that we use in the English language. And I'll give you an example. A common example that we hear nowadays in Te Reo Māori is kaore taku rorohiko I te mahi, which essentially means, directly translated, my computer doesn't work.
Yes.
But for all of us who speak, you know, regardless of the knowledge of Te Reo Māori that we have, most of us will know what the word mahi means. And mahi normally, you know, it's become normalized more, you know, more recently through sayings like, do the mahi get the treats? And when you do, you know, but what we mostly know is that the word mahi is generally used to refer to a term that a human, you know, to things that humans do and work that a human does, not what a computer does. And so when we use terms like, or have sayings in English like, my computer doesn't work, and we know that mahi means work, we assume and we overgeneralize the context in which it can be used. And so we start applying the word mahi to a whole lot of contexts and machines and things that we, you know, that probably weren't initially intended to be used for. So, you know, that's just one example of, you know, of the 100-something errors in the book that we've covered.
100%. I think also there's a lot of kind of modern applications that, you know, need to be corrected because they haven't necessarily, you know, been around as long. That example's kind of perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not to say, you know, some of the errors that are covered in the book, or the examples given in the book, are just that, you know, that, right, they're errors. And so, and there's often, you know, a grammar rule or something, a grammatical rule that you can apply to it. But on with cases like language interference, some of them don't actually break any grammatical rules. And so I guess we're putting them in there to say, you know, hey, these are some of the more modern day usages of the language, and are we okay with that? You know, because a living language is one that evolves, and so we don't want to absolutely get to a state where we speak exactly, you know, the same today as we did 100 years ago, but we also want to make sure we're conscious and we have a say about how the language evolves, and it's not dictated too much by, you know, external factors such as, you know, the English language. So I think it's a really interesting conversation that we're able to have as a result.
It's a totally interesting conversation, because the thing that I also notice with a lot of te reo learners is that they kind of do this mix of, you know, the dance of English and te reo kind of together in sentences. What do you think of that?
It's a good question. And I think, in English in particular, you know, in New Zealand here, and I mean, it's different for those who are, you know, who are students, and, you know, compared to those who are, you know, maybe middle-aged through to those, you know, out like our grandparents and whatnot. But, you know, in New Zealand, we have a special type of English that we speak, and we kind of, you know, we refer to it somewhat as New Zealand vernacular. And that's because we often use Māori words in English sentences. And the same vice versa. Often, you know, we'll be speaking Māori, but then we'll chuck, you know, an English word in here, or, you know, an English conjunction or whatever. And, you know, so it's a language, the language that we speak in New Zealand is completely different to the English language that you might hear in Europe or in the United States or in England. And I guess we've got to acknowledge that and say, you know, if in an ideal world, we would try and speak te reo Māori when we spoke te reo Māori, and we would speak English when we speak English, and we kind of wouldn't try and muddle up the two, because there are other consequences that come with that. But, you know, for the most part, I kind of think, you know, the more we're able to use the language, you know, the Māori language, and normalize it, the better. And so I'm not going to say don't do it, but I think it's just when you get to, you know, maybe slightly higher fluency levels, that you may think, okay, you know, we need to focus more on just speaking English here, or just speaking te reo Māori. So I think it's if it contributes to the normalization of the language, then I think it's a great thing.
100%. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think we're lucky, you know, to live in a country where, you know, we have this beautiful language that exists and we can kind of learn it, which brings me on to another question. What advice do you have for people who want to speak more te reo, who want to practice and learn, or maybe potentially are aiming to become fluent?
Yeah, fantastic. And I know that, you know, the large base of those who may be listening are, you know, might be students and whatnot. And, you know, so if you're at a university, for example, you know, a fantastic place to start would be to go and enroll in a, you know, even just a 101 paper, or go down to Te Wānanga o Te Aroa and you know, get involved. I mean, they are highly subscribed, and I think that's a really, really good thing. But, yeah, that's one example. Another thing you can do is, you know, you can go down to your local bookshop or, you know, retailer on site and, you know, buy books such as, you know, Māori Made Easy, and or borrow them from the library. Because essentially, if we're able to incorporate the language more and more into everyday lives, I personally think the better off we're all been. I don't think there's necessarily anything to be afraid of in that sense. But yeah, I think you know, for university students in particular, there's a lot of, you know, you're quite lucky in terms of access that, you know, you can access courses like that other people don't or aren't able to access. And so, you know, that's a fantastic way of starting your language journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's so exciting. I think the world is a better place with te reo around. So thank you for authoring this alongside Hona. It's a wonderful resource and I highly recommend it. It's in all bookstores now.
Yeah, you can access it at all bookstores, so any paper plus bookstores, you know, university bookshops, and online retailers as well. It's relatively widely available at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled for that, and thank you so much for joining us and for your time.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much.
Nga mihi.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.